Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome their first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Today we will continue with the lessons on the Holy Spirit, trying to see and to understand how this whole work of the Fiat Voluntas Tua, how the whole work of the writings of Luisa Pigarreta, the coming of the kingdom, the fulfillment of the Our Fathers, right, is the work of the Holy Spirit. We know that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that all these writings basically is the fulfillment of the Our Father. That's the promise that we are waiting for before the final end. We have to look at all of this now, at the complete work of salvation, the economies of salvation now, right from the beginning all the way till the end. Now we are able to see the whole plan of salvation that God in the beginning, He designed Adam and Eve to live in that union of the two wills, possessing the divine will within him while possessing the human will, right? Adam living in that way. And when he withdrew from that unity in which God created him, he departed and then he changed basically the course of history for us. So God, in His infinite love and mercy for all of us, He wants to restore this gift. That's the whole history of salvation. Now we understand. And for that, the people have to be prepared. In the Old Testament, the Messiah was promised. And even before the Messiah, a people had to be formed with the laws, with the Ten Commandments. And then promised through the prophets that he will send the Redeemer. That promise is being fulfilled already. Even when the Lord goes to Nazareth and they hand him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to set prisoners free. And the Lord tells them, this passage is fulfilled in your hearing. He is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And he now, before he departs, he tells us that he has many things to tell us, but we are not able to understand yet. He tells his disciples. But he promises that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will help us understand. And now that promise is being fulfilled too, as we read the Book of Heaven. Before the final end, the Our Father has to be fulfilled. Just as God the Father fulfilled all his promises, in the Old Testament, and our Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise that he will send the Emmanuel, God with us. Now, when our Lord Jesus promises that he will send the Holy Spirit and he will guide us, this is what the disciples were waiting for, and that promise is being fulfilled already. So you see now the whole history of salvation continues to unfold, and the church continues to understand as we read. The church continues to discern. Right now, the church continues to discern these writings as these writings are being revised, right? The church at the time of Father Anibal de Francia approved what they had at the time, the 19 volumes, and then the Hours of the Passion, the Blessed Mothers. And the church continues to understand now through the prophets of beatifying Luisa Picaretta. We know that she's a servant of God and she's in the process. We, in the meantime, continue to study to understand the writings now with this vision, trying to see the whole history of salvation now as it unfolds. The church in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Church in 66 tells us that it says the Christian economy, therefore, since it is the new and definitive covenant, will never pass away, and no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fullness. Our Lord Jesus is the fullness of divine revelation, the fullness of revelation. Yet even, right? Excuse me. And no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet even if revelation is already complete, it has not been made completely explicit. It remains for Christian faith to gradually grasp its fullness, its full significance over the course of the centuries. Meaning that even we have the fullness of revelation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have not understood the person of our Lord Jesus Christ yet. And through these writings, and of course, that is the work of the Holy Spirit preparing us to understand these writings. We read in the past also how the church also teaches us that what the soul is to the body, the Holy Spirit is to the church. It gives life. So if the Holy Spirit then is what gives life to the church, if the Holy Spirit is what is guiding all of us, we should have a deep devotion to the Holy Spirit. We should develop that devotion to the third person of the Blessed Trinity. We read in volume 17 in May 1725 that the Holy Spirit has to be also has to receive the correspondence. The Holy Spirit wants to receive the correspondence, just as the Father wants to receive the individual correspondence for the works of creation. And the second person of the Blessed Trinity wants to receive the correspondence for the works of redemption. Our Lord Jesus reveals to Luisa Picaretta that In everything, right? In everything that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do for those who are being sanctified, in that the Holy Spirit has to be also recognized. So he appeals to Lisa Picaretta, saying, "Another appeal must be added, that infusing yourself in order of grace in everything that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do for those who are to be sanctified. More so, since while the three divine persons are always united, operating, if the creation points to the Father and redemption to the Son, the fiat voluntas tua will point to the Holy Spirit, and it is precisely in the fiat voluntas tua that the divine Spirit will make display of his works." Right? So the Holy Spirit wants to be recognized. And then, when do we recognize the Holy Spirit? You do it when, on coming before the Supreme Majesty, you say, "I come to requite you in love, for everything that the sanctifier does for those who are to be sanctified. I come to enter into the order of grace so as to be able to give you the glory, the requital of love, as if all had made themselves saints, and to prepare you for all the oppositions and lack of correspondence to grace, the lack of correspondence of the sacraments." Right? So, in this part, what I want you to see, or what I want us to see, is that this whole work belongs to the Holy Spirit. And just as we do the rounds of creation, the rounds of redemption, what we are hearing here is that we have to do basically the rounds of sanctification. How do we do that? When we correspond in the order of grace. For everything that the Holy Spirit does, is doing, and will do. For every sacrament that is being received, for every sacrament that is being rejected, also. We correspond, we give reparation, we give His own love also. We offer the Holy Spirit His own love to correspond Him, and we beg Him to give us that same love so that we may be able to love the Father with the same love of the Son and the Holy Spirit, to love God with His own love. So we see that we need to do that. And here our Lord Jesus tells us again that it's precisely in the fiat voluntas tua that the divine Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, will make display of His work, right? This phrase, we heard this phrase also in the same book in May 24, 1925. And it's a passage that basically we have taken as the main passage for our whole study of the Holy Spirit. "As the Holy Spirit will make display of His love, manifesting to you the secrets, the prodigies, those who will give themselves to knowing how much good the Supreme will contain, to love it and to let it reign in their hearts, offering their souls to let it dwell within their hearts." So let's see here so that we may understand. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the whole book of heaven, the final epic of the history of salvation belongs to the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of the Our Father belongs to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make display of all his works, the Lord tells us. We have to correspond to the Holy Spirit. And as creatures, we have to offer ourselves, right? To offer our souls, basically. To be that container in which the Holy Spirit is being able to pour all this knowledge. So we know that the soul has the intellect, it is one of the faculties of the soul. So the Holy Spirit opening our intellect, giving us wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You see the gifts there of confirmation. So through these gifts that we have received in confirmation, once we come, we recognize the Holy Spirit in the order of grace in our own life, thanking the Holy Spirit for placing our "I love you" in our own baptism, in our own confirmation, in the gifts that we have received. It belongs to the Holy Spirit, it says, that to reveal the secrets, He will manifest the project prodigies to us, if we give our souls to the knowledge, and the soul has the faculty of the intellect. So through this faculty, the Holy Spirit will help us understand the doctrine of the divine will, revealing to us the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may understand, we may enter more deeply into the understanding of the fullness of revelation, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling in us what the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 66 says, that even though the public revelation is complete, it remains for the Church to understand it. And it is through this study that we, the Church, come to understand this gift through the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the Holy Spirit through the gifts of knowledge of the divine science, understanding it, giving us the wisdom, revealing the secrets, the eternal wisdom of God, revealing its secrets to all of us once we give ourselves to this gift. And we do it in love, because by doing this, right, we do it, first of all, now we understand that the first purpose is to love God and for the coming of the kingdom. To love God and for the coming of the kingdom. Now, you see the progression. Once the Holy Spirit begins to work in us, what is the mission now of the Holy Spirit? Hopefully you can see that we have to give ourselves, then the Holy Spirit gives to us, we correspond, the Holy Spirit gives to us, because the Holy Spirit has a mission to fulfill in each soul. What is the mission that the Holy Spirit has to fulfill in each soul? We saw it in the previous class, in the previous session, that the Holy Spirit has the mission to form the Blessed Trinity in the heart of every creature, or in the soul of every creature. And that we saw that it is in June 12, 1913. In June 12, 1913, this is what our Lord Jesus reveals to Luisa Picaretta. This is what we read here. Talking about the union within me, it says, part to part, mind to mind, heart to heart, produces in you, in the highest degree, the life of my will, the highest degree. Okay. The life of my will and of my love. In this will, the Father is formed. Right? So, just to give the context that in every single act, it produces, right? The effect of every single act that the creature does in union with the divine will produces the highest degree of sanctity in the creature that the creature is able to attain as a creature. And then by coming to live in this way, what the Lord is saying that the Father is formed. And in this love, the Holy Spirit, and through the operating words, the works, the thoughts, and in everything else that can come from the will, and form this love, the Son is also formed. And there is the Trinity in the souls. So if we need to operate, he says, it is indifferent whether we operate in the Trinity of heaven or in the Trinity of the souls on earth. This is why I keep taking everything else away from you. Be they even good and holy things. To be able to give you the best and the holiest, which is I, and to be able to form and to make you another myself, another Trinity. Because God is Trinity. So this is the mission of the Holy Spirit, to be able to form through our acts. Right? Through the knowledge, through understanding, using our intellect, to be able to form the Blessed Trinity in us as it was in the beginning. We say it all the time. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. How? As it was in the beginning. How was it in the beginning? It was perfect. It was in complete union. It was the Blessed Trinity living in the creature. So, as it was in the beginning, may it be now and forever. Even the church repeats this prayer over and over, and we have not come to understand what it really means. But now, through these writings, we know that this is the intention that the church, the Holy Spirit, is moving us. So, now through giving ourselves through the knowledge of this gift, the Holy Spirit is able to reveal to us what it means and to see the whole history of salvation, how everything is unfolding, where we are, and where we need to be. So, our duty then is to give ourselves to the study, to offer our souls to the study, to apply ourselves, our intellect, and our faculties. First of all, everything, the whole person is involved because it requires the movement of the will to be able to read these writings. You could be reading a novel, you could be reading something else, but you choose to read this book, to study it. There is the will involved. Now, as you apply yourself to read, even though you don't understand, just keep reading because the Holy Spirit is doing the work in you. Remember, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit who is going to reveal all the secrets. It doesn't say here that somebody else will reveal the secrets. Even in our study, we are just studying it, but trusting, calling upon the Holy Spirit. That's why we begin with our prayer. And even though it's so repetitious, calling upon the Holy Spirit that will display and manifest the secrets, the prodigies of the kingdom to all of us. So we have to understand this, that we are all only instruments, just as the prophets in the Old Testament, they carry the message. We are only carrying the message because this is not our work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And in order for the Holy Spirit to accomplish its purpose in us, this is what we have to do. So the whole, all the faculties of the soul are involved. Being willing to study, applying your intellect, and then the Holy Spirit will do the rest through the memory. It will help us understand. It will remind us a little by little because it is the work of the Holy Spirit that has to be accomplished. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. The love of God living in us, palpitating us, is a person. And the passage where our Lord reveals to Luisa Picaretta how Adam was created, there is a place where perhaps we can go and read it so that we may understand a little bit more also about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit was the one. Basically, it was through the Holy Spirit that God in the beginning basically was instructing Adam, giving him new knowledge, giving him new understanding. Because remember, Adam in the beginning, he continued to grow constantly as a creature. He was always being filled with this knowledge, understanding of who God was. And he was always full, always full. But his capacity was always increasing, just as in the Blessed Mother. She was full of grace at every moment. But that fullness continued to grow and continues to grow in heaven. So, in volume 33, December 10, 1933, we have read this one before. But the specific passage that I want to go to is this. It's almost at the end of that whole lesson. The Lord says the first lesson that he received from our Supreme Being as the requital of his I love you was that while loving him tenderly, replying to him, I love you, he gave him the first lesson in our divine will. And while instructing him, he communicated to him the life of it and the infused knowledge of what our divine fiat meant. And each time he said to us, I love you, our love prepared for him another lesson. So the first lesson that the Blessed Trinity gave to Adam, instructing him in the knowledge of the gift that he possessed, so Adam knew the gift that he possessed. That's what made this fall greater because he'd have understanding of the gift. He says he communicated to him the life of it and infused the knowledge of what our divine fiat meant. And each time, so he understood what it meant to possess this gift. We are trying to understand in it, right? Going here, there, but he received it directly. And through whom? He says, and Each time he said to us, I love you, our love prepared for him another lesson. Who prepared the lesson for Adam? The third person of the Blessed Trinity. Because the third person of the Blessed, love is a person, and is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. So it really makes sense then when it says that it is the Holy Spirit that will reveal, it will display all the secrets to the soul that gives himself, herself to this study. Because it was at the beginning also that it was the third person of the Blessed Trinity that was revealing the secrets to Adam. It was the whole Trinity, but it was specifically the third person who had the mission to reveal this secret. So now we go to the prayer. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, from us to God, wanting to give glory to God, the Blessed Trinity, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, meaning in unity with the divine will. But now let us see that prayer from God to us. The Blessed Trinity receiving glory from the creature as it was in the beginning, in union with his will. And if we look that prayer now from God's perspective, we see how short we fall, how tiny, how little we are. And hopefully the mercy that God has for us, that we are so far away, and yet he loves us. And he wants to bestow that gift upon us all. And that the Holy Spirit is really moving and is just begging us to give ourselves to him. And hopefully we understand the most now of the Holy Spirit that God reveals to us in the writings. So when the Holy Spirit the most in the sacraments, it is precisely because God sees from his own perspective all that we are lacking and how hardened our heart has become. What softens the heart is the grace of God that flows from the sacraments. And the one who is present in the sacraments is the Holy Spirit. So I will suggest that the same passion that our Lord Jesus suffered as he endured his cross and his agony is the same passion that the Holy Spirit is going through, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, out of love for us. And who is inflicting it? Each one of us. Let's go back to that passage now. So remember now, it is the third person of the Blessed Trinity who is giving that lesson to Adam. So, yes, it makes sense that our Lord Jesus says the Holy Spirit will remind you, he will teach you. But now we can, we are able to understand that you need to be able to give yourselves to the Holy Spirit, to offer your souls as the containers that will receive this gift. And the Lord says, our love prepare for him other lesson, more beautiful, about our will. He remained enraptured, and we delighted in conversing with him. And he and made rivers of love and perennial joy flow upon him. So Adam remained enraptured, and the Blessed Trinity delighting in seeing. Reflect him. The Blessed Trinity being able to reflect itself in the soul of the creature. But remember, as soon as we fall from that state, that image is no longer clear. It is blurry. So it belongs to the Holy Spirit now to restore that, because our Lord Jesus has reconciled us already. So as we read in the previous passage, in the other passage, now it belongs to the Holy Spirit to make visible that the Trinity on earth. And then what it happens in the soul, the creature possessing that, our Lord Jesus says, it is the same in the Blessed Trinity operating in heaven and in the creature. Then we become really heaven dwelling in the soul. Then we that's why then we can say that we begin to live the life of heaven here on earth. So rivers of love and perennial love and perennial joy flow upon him, upon Adam. So he can do the same with us. So the human life was enclosed by us with love and our will. Then he says, therefore, my daughter, there is no greater sorrow for us than to see our love as though broken in the creature. And our will hampered, suffocated without its operating life. And as though subjected to the human will, so be attentive. So again, that bond of love is broken, right? And then when our Lord reveals to Lisa Picaretta that the Holy Spirit, mourns in us and is suffocated, I will say, is the equivalent of saying that he's going through the passion. We can say the passion of the Holy Spirit. The passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We know it. But now we don't know the passion of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is going through. Why? Because he loves us. Saint Paul even says the Holy Spirit cries, Abba, and intercedes for us that we may come to understand this gift, that we may come to give ourselves in love, that we may give ourselves to him who is love. So that he may transform us through these gifts. And it makes perfect sense because the church says that grace works through nature, meaning it is by giving ourselves, it is through the power of the intellect, the will, the memory, that he will transform us into himself. Let's go to another passage that I want us to see. Okay, we can go to the Okay, let's go to February 8, 1915, is volume 11. I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but I want us to see a passage there. This is what our Lord says to Luisa Picaretta in volume 11, February 8, 1915. My daughter, the union of our wills is such that the will of one cannot be distinguished from that of the other. It is this union of will that forms all the perfection of the three divine persons. Because since we are equal in the will, the uniformity brings also the uniformity of sanctity, of wisdom, of beauty, of power, of love, and of the rest of our being. So all the attributes of God you can see perfectly in the three divine persons as one. So we reflect our love ourselves in one another. This is very important, that the three divine persons reflect themselves upon each other perfectly. So we reflect ourselves in one another, and our satisfaction is looking at one another is so great as to render us fully happy. The satisfaction of looking to one another renders the Blessed Trinity fully happy. And it is what we just read in the other passage in volume 33, that as Adam received that lesson through the Holy Spirit, which is the third person, through love, Adam remained in rapture. And he says, and we delighted in conversing with him, because the Blessed Trinity was able to reflect also itself in Adam. Why? Because Adam had, we can say that he possessed the Blessed Trinity in him. And what is the mission that the Holy Spirit has in each one of us? To render that image of the Blessed Trinity in us perfect through the sacraments and now through this knowledge too. So each is reflected in the other. And each one pours into the other all the qualities of our being, like many immense seas of different joys. So you can see all the rivers of joy, of happiness, of sanctity, of everything that flows from the Father, then the Holy Spirit, and in the Son is equal. And then the Lord says, if anything were dissimilar among us, our being could not be perfect, not fully happy. So now see the Blessed Trinity in heaven. And in order for the Blessed Trinity to reflect itself ad extra in the creature, it has to be formed perfectly also in us. And that's what is missing in us. And this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish in each one of us. And because we don't give ourselves to the knowledge and to the understanding of this gift, we don't offer our souls, the Holy Spirit is not able to accomplish his work, is not able to reveal his secrets. Therefore, he's suffocated, and that's the passion of the Holy Spirit. That we creatures inflict upon him. Now, in creating man, we infuse our image and likeness in him, so as to overwhelm him with our happiness and be reflected and delighted in him. How can the Blessed Trinity be reflected in us if we are not another little Blessed Trinity? But man broke the first link of connection. He will, excuse me, the will between himself and the Creator, therefore losing the true happiness even more. All evils swoop down upon him, so we can neither reflect ourselves nor delight in him. Only in the souls who does our will. In everything can we do it. And in her we enjoy the complete fruit of creation. In fact, even with those who have the virtues, who pray, who attend the sacraments, if they are not conformed to our will, we cannot reflect ourselves in them. Because since their will is broken from ours, all things are in disorder and upside down. We saw this in other sessions, that as long as we remained outside from this union, separated from the will of God, even holy things in the eyes of God seem disorder, imperfect. And my daughter, only our will is welcome because it makes one happy and brings all goods with itself. Therefore, do my will always in everything. Right? So hopefully we can see how the Holy Spirit is moving, what is required of us. And hopefully we can see why it is important for us to study, to give ourselves to this knowledge, and to have the devotion to the Holy Spirit, to keep begging the Blessed Mother to intercede for us, right, that we may receive the Holy Spirit through her powerful intercession, that we may become more docile also to the Holy Spirit, and then He will do the rest, because each one of us, right, is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has His eyes in each one of us, and He's just waiting for us to give ourselves in love to Him, that He may accomplish His purpose in all of us. So let's finish there and let us ask the Blessed Mother once more to intercede for us. Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.